When you hear that a novel has been published by a small press, you might think it's too offbeat for a big publishing house, or maybe just not that good. But critic Stuart Kluwan says Barry Fleming's novel, The Make-Believers, was the kind of book any big house might have been proud to publish, though none of them did. But Stuart says that's not the end of this story.
Why don't they write good, old-fashioned novels anymore? The kind of big, leisurely novel you can get lost in for a couple of weeks, so you know the characters as well as your own family. Why don't they write them like that? The truth is, they do. It's just that sometimes the books aren't published. Consider what happened to Barry Fleming. He's been a respected writer for half a century, a novelist with a good reputation among critics, and a pretty good sales record. Bestsellers, book club contracts, movie deals. So in 1973, when he wrote The Make-Believers, he might have expected just a little attention. He had turned 73, and The Make-Believers looked like the summation of his whole career. But the big publishers didn't care. Fleming managed to publish his book only with a small press in Georgia that rarely handles novels, a press that specializes in cookbooks and travel guides. The Make-Believers disappeared, with barely a trace. Was there anything wrong with the book? Just the opposite. The Make-Believers is a long, satisfying, subtle book about two generations of a Southern family, from the period before World War I up to the 1950s. It's full of carefully observed details, from the sights and sounds of old railroads and trolley cars, to the intricate code of manners between white people and black. You can find some precisely rendered chunk of reality, some well-turned phrase, bringing the story to life on just about every page. And it's a pretty good story on top of that. It begins with a murder. Two white men have been clubbed to death on a farm outside a small Georgia town. The sheriff has arrested a black farmhand and is holding him in the town jail, though not carefully enough to prevent a lynching. While all the black people disappear from the streets, the white citizens start to gather around. And that's when Ike Woodruff steps in. He's the congressman for the town, a politician who plays at being folksy in order to get votes, and doesn't care for a minute whether the black man is innocent or guilty. Ike just doesn't want to have a lynching in his district. It would make him look bad with his friends up in Washington. So he steps in, just enough to fool the mob into going home. He thinks that's the end of it. But of course, it's just the beginning. Ike, almost against his will, winds up defending the man. And that's the start of a knot of relationships among Ike, his half-brother the Bohemian painter, their friend the town doctor, and the doctor's Boston-born wife. Some parts of these relationships are better realized than others, but in over 400 closely written pages, you never feel the author is delivering less than an elegantly written, deeply thoughtful story. And now another small press has delivered something to the author, Second Chance Press, which specializes in reprinting neglected books, has reissued The Make-Believers and is bringing out all of Fleming's other novels as well. The editor of Second Chance Press is also going to bring out a new novel by Barry Fleming in February, a novel Fleming has just finished writing at age 89. Until then, you can get The Make-Believers by Barry Fleming at your bookstore, or write to Second Chance Press, Noyack Road, Sag Harbor, New York, 11963. If you didn't have a pencil the first time, it's Second Chance Press, Noyack Road, Sag Harbor, New York, 11963.
Stuart Kluwan writes about the small press and film for The Nation.